Gruesome assaults on people with albinism have happened in six countries in southern and eastern Africa in recent months, ahead of elections. The attacks are thought to be motivated by the belief that the body parts of people with albinism, whose eyes, skin and hair lack colour, bring good luck. The non-contagious, genetically inherited condition that's characterised by a lack of the protein melanin is estimated to affect up to 1 in 1,000 people in sub-Saharan Africa. The attacks have prompted the UN's first independent defender on the rights of people with albinism, Ikwonwosa Ero, to urge political parties to ensure their candidates and supporters are not associated with such grave human rights violations. In one case in Kenya, a 56-year-old man was set upon and some body parts were hacked off. Meanwhile, in South Africa in July, a young woman's dismembered body was found in a shallow grave in the village of Felendaba in the east of the country. Two of the perpetrators were caught and given 20-year jail sentences, but UN independent expert Ero says authorities could do much more to bring other attackers to justice. She says it's inexplicable that only 7 to 10% of assaults result in a prosecution.
This is very low, and even amongst those 7 to 10%, there's been incidences of extremely low sentencing, grossly disproportionate, sometimes 2 years or less. So prosecution is slow. Proportionate sentencing, highly disappointing and unjust, and a few cases that seem prosecuted are grossly outnumbered by those that are not even prosecuted or investigated at all.
Set against this lack of success in bringing to justice those responsible for the attacks are very widely held misconceptions and superstitions about albinism. These help explain why people with albinism are targeted in the first place, says aid worker Mafalda Sotovaldez. She's been involved in albinism-related issues in Malawi and Tanzania since 2008.
There are these crazy beliefs that if you have the body parts from a person with albinism, it can bring wealth and luck to your life and the life of your people. So for this reason, they are persecuted, they are mutilated, they are killed, and the law enforcement here is still pretty weak, so they live in strong fear.
While attacks on people with albinism often grab the headlines, what's less well known is the daily prejudice they suffer and the harm this does to their future chances in life. It's something that UN independent expert on albinism Ero faced as a child growing up with a condition in Nigeria.
I can still remember very clearly just walking down the street and being held by a sibling or by a cousin, and they're like, don't listen, don't look. But I mean, it was the voice of one against the voice of a multitude. I'm from a highly populated country. Nigeria is extremely dense, so you really cannot escape a kind of crowd noticing you, and most places are crowded there. So it was very very disturbing for me as a child, and at some point, even for the sake of protecting my family from what looked like a very shameful thing, I was willing to stay home even without them asking, do you want to come? You just stayed home.
Faced with this kind of stigma, people with albinism often feel isolated and have low self-esteem. As a result, they don't get a decent education. And, as aid worker Mafalda Sotovaldez explains, the dangers quickly spiral when people with albinism start working outdoors, leaving themselves open to lethal skin damage from the sun.
And you can imagine that a child that is growing up with these challenges is never going to be seated in school in the first line in class. And because of the lack of melanin, they have low vision, so they cannot see the blackboard. So they will be like finally may not succeed in at the school, probably working outdoors, level of education really poor, socioeconomical status really low, so more and more exposed to the sun damage, which at the end eventually will take them, will kill them because of skin cancer.
With around 85% of Tanzanians working outdoors, Mafalda Sotovaldez remains committed to helping people with albinism understand how to protect themselves from the sun. She manages a program at the country's regional dermatology training center that provides locally made sun creams to people with albinism. Educating the wider community about the condition is high on UN independent expert Ikwonwosa Ero's list, however. She maintains that after centuries of neglect and stigma, it's a shame that it's taken an upsurge in attacks to focus attention on the plight of some of the world's most vulnerable individuals. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.